حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد
شرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار
مركز صحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً بكم to this edition of the Coffee Express coming to you live and exclusively from the studios in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we just finished our segment on Palestine. We will now, inshallah, be getting into our new program, the first one, since I'm hosting the program, but the person that we have online is not somebody new to radio, nor is he new to Markaz Sahaba. And his name is Brother Yusuf, Ibrahim Yusuf Saleji. And this segment is called Builder G because it is related to hardware, do it yourself. And of course, there will also be something about fishing and something about food as we go along. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ibrahim.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, man?
Alhamdulillah. Now, we know that you are a person that is not new to radio at all, and you have been on Markaz Sahaba with Brother Shafa'at Ahmad Khan, Rahimahullah. Besides Markaz Sahaba, I was told that you have been on other radio stations also, the Islamic radio stations. Now, before we go on, I'm sure Brother Shafa'at Ahmad Khan, had a great impact on you. Can you tell us about your relationship with Brother Shafa'at Ahmad Khan? And then, inshallah, we can go on with our discussion on DIY and hardware, etc.
100%. So, firstly, before I go on, I would like to thank Mufti Saab and BAK for allowing me to come back on air, and obviously Brother Salim as well for coming back on air. My teacher from preschool actually was the one instrumental, Sabiha ma'am, a lot of people know her. But Shafa'at Ahmad Khan was, marhum, was great in my journey. So he actually once approached me and says, we like your confidence, we know you do social media, and we would like you to come and teach us a little bit more about hardware. And he himself was very involved in the hardware. He was always fixing something in his house. So I had a personal relationship with him off air. So he basically encouraged me on this journey. It wasn't the easiest of journeys. There's times I wanted to quit. But he was always there for me. He supported me. And his impact was not only on me. It was on many of the youngsters around our neighborhood. And he was always instrumental in, encouraging us to do positive changes and creating an impact in the world.
MashaAllah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for all his services in this dunya. Now, coming to DIY, one of the things people have a lot of problem with is waterproofing. So, being a man that's in hardware, can you shed some light on the most effective methods of waterproofing?
Gee, so actually this morning, since the guys knew I was coming on here, I had a lot of questions coming in from across the country. So a lot of people want to know how to waterproof their house, what is the correct stuff to use in their house. Now, each scenario is different and would require a different solution for it. But you do get a few basic ideas, a few basic items that you can use in the waterproofing industry as well. So whether you're referring to the waterproofing for your roofing, which is currently what we are facing at the moment. MashaAllah, this morning you have some lovely rain going on here, and then a lot of people see a few drips and drabs coming through. And in my personal opinion, the liquid rubber sensation that has taken over the painting industry at the moment is quite a fantastic product. The reason why we choose the liquid rubber is because liquid rubber has the 400% stretch in it as well. It's anti-mold, anti-fungal, and can be used with the membrane system. Basically, it's a very forgiving system for those who want to attempt DIY, because it's something that will do most of the work for yourself without much preparation.
Yeah, and so for roofing, you get a different kind of waterproofing, and for walls, you get a different kind, because a lot of people that are living particularly in houses like the RDP houses, and we know that most of these government contracts, they got builders that just did what we call slab dash. You know, they use these blocks, and water even seeps through those blocks when it's rain. You know, in the rain, the rain is hitting in a direction of, you know, one side of the house. You'll find the wall on that house is wet and the water seeps right through. So it's a different kind of waterproofing for roofing and different kind of waterproofing for the walls of the house.
That is correct. Now, firstly, when people are building itself, a lot of people want to save money. So my mother always tells me, you know what, don't be painful, foolish, you know. And you know what, do what is told to you correctly. So add your additives to your mortar. Now, should that have already been done, and you can't do anything about that situation, basically, waterproofing refers to water that's coming out two ways. One is rising dampness, and one is penetrating dampness. Now, you summarized it very beautifully when you said that the water is driving in from one side. Now, that obviously is your penetrating dampness, and water coming in from the bottom, which is referring to around your soil that is getting stuck upward, is your penetrating, your rising dampness that is coming in from the bottom. Now, for that solution, you have two things. Now, an easier solution would be to apply a product called Danfix. Now, Danfix is a pure acrylic waterproofer, but you know what? You can have the best of products in anything in life. You can have the best of something, but you don't know how to use it correctly, the product would fail. So basically, in your application, you're going to paint it the same as you would do a pool and apply it in two separate directions, roughly 12 hours apart. Now, you can use that, and for major problems, what we refer to is a slurry mix, where you had cement and a waterproofing agent in it, and a powdered waterproofing, and you brush it on, and thereafter primer and paint. But when you're doing the painting as well, you also get a paint that has just been launched. Amazing, amazing product. It's called the 4-in-1, which has a primer, sealer, waterproofer, and top coat, all in one paint. Now, what that one day is any normal guy doesn't know much about painting can get the paint and obviously apply it correctly to your home with ensuring extremely good results.
Now, can this dampness of the walls be caused because of the wrong ratio of cement and sand? Because, you know, that's quite a dangerous thing. I know, you know, prior to me being involved in radio, I was involved with an NGO called Islamic Relief Worldwide. And once we went to an area in Molweni after a storm, and it seemed like there was an earthquake there. The houses were all flat down. And when we made further investigation, we found out that the ratio of the sand and the cement was not right. That is why those houses could not withstand the storm. So the storm. Now, can this incorrect ratio also be the cause of dampness?
That's a very good observation. Now, remember, when the incorrect ratio is then complete, your surface becomes ultra porous, meaning it's sucking in a lot of water and retaining the water. Now, when water is submerged totally inside there, it weakens the actual cement itself. So, yeah, that is 100% correct observation you made over there. Incorrect. People want to be a bit more cost effective and then apply a little bit lesser. It's not going to help you. It's going to actually cost you a lot more money in the longer run. So, you know what? Use the correct products, the correct ratios, and use high quality products. I promise you, in the longer run, it would save you a lot of money.
And on the roofing, I observed that with the waterproofing, you know, the substance that they sell, they also sell that sort of thing that looks like gauze.
Yes, now, membrane system.
Yeah. Membrane, they call it membrane.
Yes.
So, you know, is that a necessity or just one, if one desires to use it, he uses it, or otherwise just use that waterproofing liquid without using that?
That's a very good question. A membrane, or what is membrane? Basically, membrane acts as a bandage to patch up an area. So where there is a crack that is gone too large at the moment, you know, we have expansion and contraction, and the crack starts to form. So I will give a nice example. If you got cuts in on your hands, you'd use a small piece of gauze onto your hand to hold the skin together, and then you would put the bandage around it. It's the same purpose with the membrane. So the membrane will act as a filler and a holder between the two ends. So where do you hold it against your maybe a roof? You would always get a gap and water comes through that gap. The membrane is something that we would use in that situation.
Now, you know, we have a lot of import products in the country also. And then we know in South Africa, I don't know whether this still applies. We used to always look for SABS approved because, you know, we had confidence in that. Would you advise people to go in for the import products or stick with South African products?
So the reason why I always say suggest stay with the South African products is the after service guarantee. Now, with you know, importing stuff, I see a lot of people will tell you, you know what, we might exchange it, you know, or incorrect usage. But with South African, you can actually get the technical data sheets for it. You can see what went wrong, who went wrong, and who was at fault with it. Normally, most of these companies that have South African products also have a technical team on hand and on standby that will come and see and inspect the product failure to see whether it was their own fault or incorrect application and preparation.
Okay. Now, I see something else that you're quite involved in is assisting school children with projects. You know, this is something that can be very stressful for parents. And, you know, I also, as a parent, of course, my children are now out of school and even out of tertiary. But this was something that was quite stressful for me. Now, what's the, you know, in our time, it wasn't so much electronics and things when our children were in school or when we ourselves were in school. You know, what's the in thing with school projects now? And, you know, do you cater for this?
100%. So I noticed, you know, a lot of parents coming inside here last minute telling me, you know what, our kid needs to build X, Y, Z. I don't know what it is. I don't have the time. I'm an office worker, or I'm a single parent, or the kid, I'm his grandparent. And I see a lot of people, and by the time they took piece by piece, it worked out extremely expensive. And cost became a huge concern for me, and also how quickly I could, you know, give a lot of customers the same thing. So I decided to design my own products with regards to school projects to assist the parents. Now, we take it one step further because Strategies Hardware, Manzi told you, is all about the service that we do offer. And we assist with not doing the project for you. We'll never do the project for you. We will assist you with the wiring, with diagrams. We'll show you what's the most popular way, what's the easier way to do it. And it's all available in a kit form. So whether you're building an electromagnetic crane that refers to your crane as well as your electronics part of it, the crane will be given to you in a kit form. And the electronics will be then given to you and explain how to connect it, why you connect it a certain way. So we always like the kids to come inside here so they can explain to the teacher why they get things a certain way. It's also a safer method so they don't obviously hurt themselves or hurt others while doing the school projects.
Now, are schools aware that, you know, hardware stores are actually selling the kits, and do they accept this, or, you know, they feel that It's like AI. You know, children, they're doing assignments, they're doing most of the schoolwork through ChatGPT and AI, etc. And it is becoming a problem. Now, with these kids, what's the, we'd say, the moods towards these kids that are sold?
So it's actually quite a funny situation over here. Most of the schools actually tell the kids to come to Salijiza Mandi and told you to collect the kids over here. It makes their life easier because otherwise kids just come in without even expect a zero. You know, my father didn't do it, my mother didn't do it. So I've seen forms would go to Salijiza at the bottom and get your school projects from there. So I also get a lot of teachers from other schools requesting online orders. It's something that we do. If you send us a message on one of our social media platforms and you tell us, you know, we want a kit, we actually send it out to your door. We use a website called Fastway, and it comes directly door-to-door delivery. So a few parents from the neighborhood would actually purchase a few kits together and then split the courier cost between them and then assemble it. Now, we give you the basic nature of the school project kit. It's up to the kid how they beautify it, how they design it, and how they make it different to the other. So we don't suggest you just submit the kit just like that. We take your time, do the aesthetics behind it, design it, put a little bit more effort in it, and inshallah, a lot of our kids, I would say a good 80 to 90% of them have received 100% on the kits.
That's very good. Now, something else that's becoming a problem is electricity. And we know that one of the, you know, biggest consumers of electricity among the things that we have at home are things that generate heat. And among them is the geyser. Is there any alternative to using an actual geyser? You know, some a way where you could get hot water, but through some other mechanism instead of the geyser?
So the product you're talking about here is actually, the topic is such a beautiful topic and a topic of its own, but I'm going to try and quickly summarize it for you. This really is the geyser. The benefits of the geyser everybody knows about. It'll give you instantaneous water for long periods of time. But if you have a geyser, I always suggest use the geyser timer switch. Now, basically with a geyser, when it's not in use and the water will still cool down in the geyser will kick on automatically and it will heat it up. So whether the product is used or not in use, the geyser will still switch on. But you can control and tell the geyser, I don't want you to come on now, by using a geyser switch. Also, you can stop that process a little bit by installing a geyser blanket. However, there is a product on the market at the moment called the Lorenzetti. The Lorenzetti is basically an instant shower head that works on a pressure control switch. It's almost the same as boiling a kettle. Now, how it works is basically water flows through the head of the shower and it has a switch on that's triggered by the water. So only when the product is in use, you'll use electricity, thus saving you lots of money.
Yeah, because a geyser takes about 26 watts a day if you have to use it the whole day. And at the moment, with 100 rand, those people that are using coupons, you know, with 100 rand, they are getting 25 watts. That means to keep your geyser on just for the month is 3,000 rand. 100 rand a day, a 30-day month will work out 3,000 rand, which is quite a big sum of money.
That is correct. You know, it's an exorbitant amount of money. And always, you know what, the times are tough. You know, everything is so expensive, from food to, we don't even talk about luxuries anymore. Everything is just about, you know, the basic necessities. And electricity, hot water, is a basic necessity. Now, people obviously try and cut down their pricing. Some of them disconnect the geysers and then try and boil water on the stove or use the geyser buckets. But it becomes a hazard as well, you know, a burn hazard. I've seen a lot of people get hurt attempting to save money. So if they try these other smaller methods, then inshallah, save a lot of money on the electrical bill.
Now, what about people who would just put their geyser on 2 hours in the morning before, you know, people get up to get ready for salah and work, what have you, and 2 hours in the evening. Does that make any difference?
In my personal opinion, yes, it does. But it requires you to physically go to the distribution box and switch on the breaker. Sometimes the breakers get damaged. Sometimes you forget to do it. So it's easier for you to get done automatically using a switch. In my opinion, yes, 100%, because maybe for that day you don't need the geyser in the evening. So you're running with whatever hot water is made up over there. So it actually can go two ways on that. But also there is a bit of a disadvantage is the waiting time. When waiting for a geyser, it can sometimes take, you know, an hour or two to get hot. And you have to wait for it to get, otherwise you have to breathe the cold water.
Does this switching on and off affect the geyser in any way? You know, any negative effect does it have on the geyser?
In my personal opinion, no, it doesn't. It doesn't do that. The geyser can be designed, that's why they have geyser switches. It can be designed to be switched on and off. The only issue happens with that usually damages a geyser is when water drops below the element. So when you have like a water cut and you don't have a non-return valve on your geyser and somebody uses the geyser and water drops beneath the element, that's when you're going to start encountering problems because the element is going to burn. And the first results of that is you're going to see your earth leakage tripping.
Okay. And you were talking about that timers. How does the timer work?
So a timer is practically the same thing as you going to the distribution box and switching it on and off. It just takes out the human effort part of it and it does it automatically. So at a certain time, which is programmed onto your geyser timer, automatically the geyser will be cut out of power. And when the time kicks in again, then the geyser timer will kick in again at the geyser, right? You can start heating up now. So just say sometimes you're not at home and you want to come home to a warm shower. Automatically at 4 o'clock or whatever time it is set, you can have the geyser come on. Now where this can save you a lot of money is for those homes who have solar. So now solar, it will kick it in, just say at 12 o'clock midday where in maximum sun is hitting your panels. So at that particular time, you want to be using the most amount of electricity because you're not paying for it. It's free. So they were setting the timer to come in at 12 o'clock. I know one of my reps used this quite effectively and brought down his bill considerably by allowing his timer to only kick in when the sun is at its highest peak. So most electricity is coming into his home. He's not using any of municipal power. He's only using the sun to heat up his geyser.
Okay. Now, you're also a very keen fisherman. And with Brother Shafa'at, you used to discuss a bit about fishing also. So can you just tell us something about fishing?
No, Anil Shafa'at and I, we bonded over the fishing and we did a very successful shows with us at fishing. But yeah, he had a bit of fish. You know, his home had this, he had such beautiful fish, massive fish. And it was his pride and joy as well. So whether it was freshwater fish or saltwater fish, we actually walked to pet shops together and seen that there. But the regards to the fishing, he used to talk to me, obviously, is ocean fishing. I do a little bit, I do have enough time to do it that I would like to do it. But just recent catches have been extremely good, especially in the Amanzimtoti area. We're in good fish have been coming out. So my brother actually was a doctor, decided that, you know what, we haven't bonded in some time, just bond over some fishing. So yeah, multi-purpose sport when you bond with your family and get some good fish. And yeah, the bait of choice was sardine and effective at night. And alhamdulillah, good fish were caught.
And another thing that Brother Shafa'at Khan was very famous for is food. If he didn't discuss food in his program, then his program was,
he
did. Now, did that rub onto you also?
So, he knew I was a chef of some sort. I'm not good at it. But yeah, he always asked me what I had for breakfast and what I was cooking for lunch and what's the latest in the food item. So yeah, you know, dropped off quite a bit of him. He was actually a fantastic chef himself. I heard about the curries he used to make, and one day it was actually quite a funny story. I asked him if I could reverse the interview on one. He didn't expect this, and I didn't expect it. And just on air, I told him, you know what, today we're going to do something different. I know we had something prepped for the show, but today I'm going to interview you. And the moment I asked him about his food and his cooking, he basically, life was reinstalled into him. And the passion he spoke about reignited the fire inside me. And, you know, till today, when I think about that day, it actually brings tears to my eyes.
Jazakumullah, alhamdulillah, our first session went well. And inshallah, this would be every Saturday from now at the same time. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for your valuable time and the valuable information that you are imparting to our listeners, both in this world and in the Akhirah. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Yusuf, Brother Ibrahim Yusuf Salaji, who is in the hardware business, and besides that, he has other interests also.